Our Heavenly Father paid an awesome price that we, when we sin, can repent. When we truly have a change of heart and mind, and He forgives us. Do you know why? Because He loves us. Now, sometimes that's hard to understand, but He does. Regardless of what, as long He may not love what you're doing, but He certainly does love you. We're going to do communion, our lecture, just a little bit different. I want you to open your Bibles to the 9th chapter of Hebrews. 9th chapter of Hebrews. I want to ask our Father for a word of wisdom as we get into this, and we're going to pick it up here in the 9th chapter with about verse 24 and kind of go through the 10th chapter. And with that word of wisdom in Yeshua's name, verse 24 reads, "For Christ is not entered into the holy place made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us." Do you get that? For us. That means your advocate, your lawyer. He's there. That's why you want to take it up with Him. He's right there at the hand of God. It isn't a figure of something to come. It has happened. He's there. And all you have to do is talk to Him. And He's going to make it right if you are right. He's going to make it real right. That's why that Christianity is not a religion. It's a reality. That's the way it is. And to think that our Father, who allowed the Son, the only begotten, to be named Emmanuel, God with us. Don't ever let that escape you. God with us. I'll put it a little different way. God in our dimension, whereby you could communicate. And as Jesus would say in the great book of John, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. So that's how much He loves you. That's how much He cares about you. You might think, well, who am I that He would care? You're His child. You're His child. And He cares about His children. I mean, don't you? You know, I mean, it's an awesome kinship. And He does care. He cares what happens to you. And do you disappoint Him at times? Oh, I'm sure you do. He's, you know, you always take it back and think about old Job, where he told Satan when he appeared up there, he said, "Hey, I got a good one down there, old buddy." He didn't call Satan buddy. I don't know why I said that. He said, "I got a good one down there. You can't any more tempt Him." And Satan says, "Well, He takes advantage of your word, and He's got that fence all around Him. Of course I can't touch Him." That's something you want to pick up from that. Do you have it around your life and family? You can, you know, all you have to do is ask. I mean, God had him protected good. God was that wall around him. And God took care of him. And finally, Satan said, "If you'll take all that down, I can have him." Just like that. And God did something, and I'm glad that's the only case He did it to, the only case that happened, because I sure wouldn't want it to happen to me. Because God removed the protecting wall and just left poor old Job right there with only his faith, his knowledge, and his love for God, and let Satan at him. And I mean, in just a very short time, Satan had all of his family gone, his friends turning their backs on him. I mean, he's got sores all over his body. And his wife says, "Why don't you just curse God and die?" You know, now with a mate like that, maybe that's why God gave him a new one. I don't know. No, it might have been that one rejuvenated or converted. I don't know, you know. But anyway, Job sustained himself with all of that. And here he had three friends that were ratchet jaws. I mean, they just pumped the gospel out to him, only it's fake gospel. And you know, some preachers will preach sermons on that.
Yes, that's what the Bible says right there in the book of Job.
But there's a bunch of knuckleheads saying it. You know, you got to be careful. Be careful. Rightly divide the Word of God. Okay, we're not going to get through here today if I don't quit that. That's one verse. And I'm doing like some of these one-verse Charlies. I went on way too long with that one verse. 23, 24, 25. Nor yet that he should offer himself often as the high priest entered into the holy place every year with blood of others. I mean, it was a yearly event, over and over. Open up the Holy of Holies, take in the blood, pour it on the altar, over and over. And do you know something? The blood of animals can't really get it done. If the blood of Christ is not that effective with very many, but except for quite a few people, what do you think the blood of goats would do? Not much, friend. But that went on year in, year out. And don't think I'm taking away from the Holy of Holies. I'm not. But it's that he was willing. He was perfect to sacrifice himself, so that he could sit down at the right hand of God, so that he would be there present, so that when you repented and when you cried out, "Forgive me, Father," in the Son's name, bam, it's done, it's completed, it's paid for, Mark, paid in full. But what an awesome price that he paid. You see, it was his blood. It was his own blood that was on that cross for us. I mean, for you. And, you know, sometimes it probably doesn't hurt if we say, "Are you worth it?" Well, I don't know. He thinks so, and that's all that counts, all right? Regardless of what. 26, "For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world, but now, once in the end of the world, here in this dispensation of time, hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself." He gave it all. "And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment." If you ever get somebody that said, "Well, do you believe in reincarnation?" Remember this verse. I mean, one time in the flesh, bingo, that's it. Okay? Then comes judgment. Do you know what that means? You're only going to get one shot at it. That's to say, salvation, to be pleasing to Almighty God. And then you die. And then, quite frankly, judgment. We're going to open the books. He's going to open the books on you. And believe you me, it's all there that you have not repented of. 28, "So Christ was once offered to beat the sins of many," to bear, rather, "the sins of many." It beats them too. "And unto them that look for him shall he appear." Now don't read over that. "And unto them that look for him." Do you? "That look for him, shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation." That advent is coming. It's all but at the door. The books are still open. Make certain that you keep your page clean and clear, and make sure that through repentance your sins are removed. He paid that price. Awesome. See that. See that you take advantage of his love by returning that love. chapter 10, verse 1, "For the law, having a shadow of good things to come," it wasn't a real thing necessarily is what it's saying, but it was a foreshadow of what was good, because the law is good. "And not the very image of things can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually make the comers thereunto perfect." It just can't do it. Okay? But this can, the fact that our Father is at the right hand of God, standing in for you, your advocate. You know, you pay a lot of these slicks to do things for you, and you never know for sure whether they're doing their best or even if they're qualified. I'm talking about lawyers, okay? There's some good ones out there. Some of you even present. So don't get nervous. We'll always give you an out as long as you are good and honest and Christian, okay? But anyway, He makes those comers perfect, mature is what it really means. When I was a child, I spake as a child, but then when you mature, mature. Too. "For then would they not have ceased to be offered," question, "because that the worshipers once purged should have had no more conscience of sin." But you know what? Old guilt keeps coming back. You know why? Because we're guilty. I mean, as long as you're in the flesh, there's going to be sin that will fall your way, whether it's overeating, whatever. Okay? We're just not perfect creatures in the flesh body. And that's why it grieved God that He had finally made man flesh also. He kind of hated that it had come to that. And it is kind of a mess when you look around you today and you see what it's boiling down to as the third that went against Him in the original, the first earth age, are living now. And it's only right that they should be here now at the time of the Antichrist. See what He does to them this time. Verse 3, "But in those sacrifices there is a remembrance again made of sins every year." It always keeps coming up. He keeps taking that blood in there year after year after year. But in Christ's case, once and it was complete. Verse 4, "For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins." It really isn't. It does not have the depth. Let me just try it on you. Bulls and goats' blood shed for you. Do you know all that hurts? That was money in your pocket. All that did, it took a little money. But He loved you enough that He stood in for you and gave His own blood so that you could have that repentance. And that can save. That can deliver. That can answer prayer. That can make a big, big difference. Verse 5, "Wherefore, when He cometh into the world, He saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me." And so it is. He was that body. 6, "In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast had no pleasure." You need to really absorb that, because it has a deeper meaning yet when you team it and apply it to Hosea 6:6. God doesn't want your burnt offerings. That doesn't give Him pleasure. It's your love that He wants. The love of the Son that paid the price for you on the cross. That absolutely stood in for us. That does give God pleasure. That you repent and return that love. Emmanuel, God with us. 7, "Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book. It is written of me to do thy will, O God." All the way back through to Moses. I'm in the scroll. It's written of me over and over. A virgin shall conceive. Moses, a prophet shall rise among you, just like you, in the flesh, to stand, and he would be the Son of God. Over and over. Psalms 22, he would pay the price on the cross with his arms pulled from socket, nailed to that cross, Roman soldiers gambling for his clothing, written 1,000 years before the fact, coming to pass exactly as it was written. When he would say those words on the cross, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, which is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? God did not forsake him. He never called God God. He always called him Father. He was quoting that 22nd Psalm for the student to know he cares about you. Even down to the last words of the 22nd Psalm, when he said, there will be children come that will have ears to hear, that will understand, and I'm going to count them as a generation. And he was thinking of you, the generation of the fig tree, that he would utilize to put all of his enemies under his feet. And you are part of that family. If you believe, if you trust Him, if you love Him. Really, my friend, that's what life is all about. Is our Father loving His children and those children returning that love. Lo, I come in the volume of the book. Have you read it? Have you studied it? Then you will have people that will try to play religion. And never crack the Word, never study the Word, to even know who He was, what He was here for, and what He went through, bringing that to you personally, that opportunity to have that salvation. Lo, I come in the volume of the book, the scroll in the Greek. Make sure that you hold it close. And that it is a valuable thing, the Word of God. It will change your life. It will make your life bearable. It will give you a mind knowing and understanding what is happening in this world today without having to play guessing games with what's happening. Prophecy, prophecy, prophecy. We'll get into some of it later. Verse 8, above, when he said, sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings, and offering for sin thou wouldest not, neither hadest pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. The law wasn't bad. It was people that are bad. Okay? People have a tendency to break law. Well, and there'll be some say, well, I thought the law was done away with. My preacher said it was. Oh. Go rob a bank and see what happens to you. Thou shalt not steal. Or mess around on your old lady and tell her about it. The law don't exist that you shouldn't covet your neighbor's wife. And when the wife gets through with you, talk to the husband of your neighbor's wife and see what he does to you. They believe the law still exists. I think everybody does. It's just that people like to play games with the Word of God. Don't. It's a very dangerous thing. Verse 9, then said he, Lo, I come to do thy will, O God. Do you think Christ came for any other purpose? Because it was God's will that wanted salvation for you, and he came to fulfill it. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second. A much better law, the law of freedom, the law of salvation, God's law. Verse 10, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once, I repeat, once for all. Now let me tell you something. Christ is the Savior. His body was offered for one and all times. One of the biggest sins you can do is when you have 30 people in a building, and they're all saved, do not preach a salvation message to them. You're insulting Christ on the cross. You're re-crucifying Him, as it is written in this same book we're in, Hebrews chapter 6. You're trying to re-crucify Him all over, saying He can't cut it. He can't save anybody. No, He can save you. And after that, you know what you have to do? I'll use some old terminology here that everybody's familiar with, backslide. I know none of you would ever, ever backslide. Okay. But let's say you did. And then to say, I got to get saved again. You be real careful. You're saying Christ wasn't able, not that you're not. Don't do it. You repent and get yourself back to the foot of the cross and love Him and let Him know that you've had a change of mind. That, my friends, is a very serious thing. That you would say you needed to be resaved because you're saying Christ failed, not yourself. It won't fly, friend. And I'm going to tell you something. He is happy with you when you give Him pleasure. He takes pleasure in everything you do if it's done right and in the will of God. And when you give Him pleasure, He's going to see to it that you have pleasure, that you enjoy life, that you are able to accomplish things for Him even. And in doing that, make sure you do pleasure Him. But don't try to blame your shortfalls on Him. That would be the equivalent of what you would be doing, just to say He had to die more than once to save a tough nut like you. Not so. The only thing that'll save a tough nut like you is that you repent, and I mean do it right. You can't just con God. It won't happen. It won't fly. He did His part. Now all you got to do is do yours. Just love Him. It's so simple. Love Him. Let Him know that you love Him. Don't just keep it all to yourself. You know, some people think, well, I just don't like to talk about love. That shows weakness. That is a dangerous, dangerous teaching. Love is the most powerful force in the world. And don't ever be ashamed of it. Never, never, never. Verse 11, and every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. I mean, when man does it, it just doesn't stack up good, okay? It's the same way when man decides he's going to make a new religion. Man can make all kinds of religions. There's one now that likes to kill Christians. And some people, and a lot of Christians will say, well, just be understanding. Well, there's a lot of people in the Twin Towers that are quite understanding about it. They want to kill us. So God gives us the right to protect ourselves, period. 12. But this man, this Christ, after He had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, how long? Forever. That means right now and forevermore. Sat down on the right hand of God. And that's where He is. And you have contact with Him through the Holy Spirit. He is your advocate. And you have a strong tie right with the Heavenly Father. And don't you... Well, that just makes me almost tremble to believe that. Well, tremble and believe, friend, because it's true. That's exactly the way it is. If you are loved by God and if you have pleasured Him, I assure you, you have an advocate right at His right hand. And if you're really intelligent and understand Emmanuel, then you're a lot better off yet. 13. From henceforth, expecting till His enemies be made His footstool. That means waiting patiently. Now, let me ask you a question. if Christ is at the right hand of God, and of course there is much supernatural power comes from there, but who do you think is going to put his enemies under his footstool? Well, maybe he'll get her. No, he has servants. He has servants to take care of things like that. Are you one? Or is it somebody else? Can he count on you as a witness? Or does he need to look for someone else? Because God's people, this is why he said, "Come out of her, my people." He meant it. That was the message from this spring at Passover, and that will be continued this afternoon. "Come out of her, my people." I'm going to make sure by the time you leave here this evening, you're going to know what it is you're coming out of. His enemies will be made his footstool simply by obeying him, giving him pleasure, and tying into the strength and the power of Almighty God. Verse 14, "For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified." No ifs, ands, or maybes. That's why his offering forever sanctifies you as long as you will repent. So don't you ever dare think re-saved. Okay? It's an insult. It's a bad insult. Repent. He paid the price and it will last forever. "Whereof the Holy Spirit also is a witness to us, for after that he had said before..." Said before, what did he say? 16. "This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts." That's minds. "And in their minds will I write them." How's your chalkboard up above, friend? That chalkboard that's between your ears. Has some of the truth settled in? Some of God's Word that you can live by it and know you're living to please Him? That's what it takes if you want His blessings. Every promise of God basically has a condition affixed to it. And He loves you. I don't know, you know, sometimes it takes years and trial and trial and trial and temptation until finally one of the little children says, "Oh, I see. He really does love me. All he wants me to do is return that love." You got it. Okay. Don't ever forget that. When you're lonely and when you're down and you cry out, "I'm all alone," you're insulting him. It's a direct insult to Almighty God when you say, "I'm all alone." Because he has promised he would never leave you nor forsake you. What's wrong with you? Think about it. You're never alone. He is always with you, always will be. Why? You're his child. And he loves you. "And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more." Once they're repented for, they're erased. And you know what he says? Some will say, they'll slip back over to the cross and, "Father, I repented and you forgave me for losing my cool and offending my neighbor. I want to talk about it some more." And he will say, "You just forget it. When I forgive it, it is gone. It doesn't exist. So don't mope about it. Don't get yourself on a poor me baby jag. Stand up and act like a child of God with that forgiveness has been exercised." And see that, you know, it doesn't pay to insult our Father. It just doesn't make His day. And that's what you really need to be doing, you know, because we owe Him a great deal. We really do. He said, I don't want to remember your sins anymore. I don't want to hear about them in another scripture. Verse 18. "Now, where remission or forgiveness of these is," that they're forgotten, "there is no more offering for sin." It's gone. Do you understand that? Once it's forgiven by Almighty God, there's no more offering for it because it doesn't exist. Except maybe some of us, if you had a peanut in a boxcar and rattled it around, you might have a good comparison. Okay? He's saying, don't you get it? It doesn't exist. So how could there be remission for it? What he's saying, in a way, I don't want it brought up because it wastes my time. But I just like to feel sorry for myself. Well, go get you a bank out in the woods somewhere, kick, scream, yell, get it out of your system, and then come back and join humanity. Okay? That you'll be a lot better citizen for it. Okay? Aren't you glad that I'm a gentle soul? That I have so much patience with. But you know, I guess I have a standard of taking people into a battle, and I want them prepared for that battle. I don't want to take a bunch of wimps with me where they'll get somebody killed. I want real troops that they've been handed the lines and they know what it takes to get it done. All right? Well, let me tell you, don't let it surprise you, but God feels the same way. He's got an army, and those enemies are going to be put under His footstool, and you better get set for it. You better get ready for the Holy Spirit to speak through you and see those enemies crumble. It's going to happen. He's got some real good foot soldiers. And just as Job stood, you're going to stand. You're not going to do like the apostles, run at the foot of the cross. You're going to stand. Because you know the enemy and you know we have power over him. And we're down in that generation where things count. Time counts. Beloved, you count. Having therefore, brethren, boldness. I mean, you can be bold. Don't hold back. To enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. You can march right into the Holy of Holies. Before, it took a priest. Man, he had to walk in there with a bucket of blood. And I mean, if his soul wasn't clean, God struck him down and he died right there in the Holy of Holies. You know, man trying to set himself up is perfect. They even put, according to traditions, little tinkle bells on his toes. So if those bells stopped tinkling, they knew they could reach in and drag him out. So, we don't do that. When Christ was crucified, that veil to the Holy of Holies was rent, not from the bottom to the top, but from the top to the bottom by Almighty God saying, children, come in. You're not alone. You're my children. You're my family. Come in. Talk to me. Listen to me. And this is why he could truly say, lo, I come in the volume of the book. Why, he was the book. He is the Word. He is the living Word. He brought the Word. Therefore, you can count on it. Many things in this lifetime change. Seasons change, dispensations change, but God's Word never changes. Mark 13, your documentation. Verse 20. By a new and living way which He hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, His flesh. I mean, let's get right down where the rubber meets the road. And having an high priest over the house of God, who is that high priest? Himself. Forever. No changes. Solid. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. For He is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Let us always build up. Let us not tear down. It was He that gave us something that we build each other up with, and it's the book that He came in the volume of, His Word, His promises. Our Heavenly Father is so good to us that it's very difficult for us to stop and just meditate a moment and think that here we were with Him, Elohim. And He said, let us make man in our image, and here you are. And I want to say something that if you don't quite understand this, just put her over on the shelf. It'll be just fine. I have no doubt in my mind, in as much as God is always true and totally fair, that if a third of the children's souls in the first earth age followed Satan, that He would cause them to be birthed at the time that the false Christ would reappear on earth. Now, if that be the case, inasmuch as for in God's camp, for every negative there is a positive, it would mean also those that withstood Satan in the first dispensation would be born into this generation. So we are dealing with some warriors. I mean, it was very real then, and it is very real now, that Satan still wants to take count and deceive all that he can. But God has a hedge, and it's called His children, to prevent this. And when you partake of the Lord's Supper, it brings back to mind and refreshes that time that lets you know, with that bread, His body, He took the stripes. They beat Him. He did not whimper. He did not complain. He did not say, let's put this off till tomorrow. He did it for you. He did it for me. He did it so that we could have forgiveness of sins. And do you know what? What a pleasure it is to have the opportunity to serve someone like that. Someone that gave it all for you. That you have been, you have chosen to follow Him, to love Him, and allow Him to use you. What a precious time to live. Many of the prophets even wanted to live in this generation of the fig tree. They wanted to see these things come to pass. You're looking at them. They happen every day. You turn on your television tonight, and there will be news from Babylon. Be sure you put it together accurately. But when He was on that cross, He knew that we in our flesh bodies couldn't quite cut it. So He took those stripes and that beating with His body so that, but it was, is our body that receives the healing. We're about to partake of that. If you have an illness, you're going to receive from His body that healing. Let Him know and request, and don't be ashamed. Boldly do it. Talk to Him. He can read your mind. You don't have to say it out loud. And then at the same time, the wine washes away all sins, symbolic of His blood. The very first miracle that He performed was turning water to wine. Nature's purification. Nature's sterilization. The fermentation process of the grape. So that it is pure as Christ's blood. And it washes away your sins. Gives you a fresh, clean start. An anointing. It is an anointing. And we're just about to partake of that divine charge at this time. This is why we gather in the spring and in the fall, that it could come to pass, that He knows you love Him, you remember him and you want him, then let him know that you love him. And at that time, he will return that love to you. Or you'll feel it. You'll feel it. That Spirit will touch you. He will touch you. Why? He loves you. And I thank God for the family that has the courage to stand.